Chapter 2 of As a Man Thinketh by James Allen. New version edited by Christopher Westra of freemindpowerbooks.com. Read by Thea Westra of myforwardsteps.com. Chapter 2, Effect of Thought on Circumstances. Your mind may be likened to a garden, and this garden may be intelligently cultivated or allowed to run wild. But whether cultivated or neglected, it must and will grow something. If no useful seeds are put into it, then an abundance of useless weed seeds will fall into it, and will continue to produce their kind. A gardener cultivates his plot, keeping it free from weeds and growing the flowers and the fruits that he requires. So may you tend the garden of your mind, weeding out all the wrong, useless, and impure thoughts. Cultivate toward perfection the flowers and fruits of right, useful, and pure thoughts. Thus you will grow in truth, intelligence, and light. By pursuing this process, you sooner or later discover that you are the master gardener of your soul, the director of your life. You also reveal within yourself the flaws of thought. You will understand, with ever-increasing accuracy, how the thought forces and mind elements operate in the shaping of your character, circumstances, and destiny. Thought leads to character, as character can only reveal itself through environment and circumstance. The outer conditions of your life will always be harmoniously related to your inner state. This does not mean that your circumstances at any given time indicate your entire character. It does mean that your outer conditions are intimately connected to some vital inner thought processes. Some of these thoughts and beliefs may be below the level of your current awareness. You are where you are in life because of the laws of thought, and the thoughts that you have built into your character have brought you here. In the arrangement of your life, there's no element of chance, but all is the result of a law that cannot be broken. This is just as true for those of you who feel out of harmony with your surroundings, as for those of you who are contented with your place in life. As a progressive and evolving being, you are where you are so that you may learn. You are shown the results of your thoughts so that you may grow. As you learn, the spiritual lesson that any set of circumstances contains for you, those conditions pass away and give place to other circumstances. You will be knocked about by circumstances so long as you believe yourself to be the victim of outside conditions. But when you realize that you are a creative power and that you may command the hidden soil and seeds of your being out of which circumstances grow, you then become your own rightful master. You know that circumstances grow out of thought if for any length of time you have practiced thought control. You know this because you have seen for yourself that the change in your circumstances has been in exact proportion to your changed mental condition. You will find that when you earnestly apply yourself to remedy the defects in your character, you'll make swift progress. You will eliminate many bad habits and establish a powerful foundation for success. Your soul attracts that which it secretly desires. Yes, you attract that which you love and also that which you fear. You reach the height of your cherished dreams. You fall to the level of your vulgar desires. Your circumstances are the means by which your soul receives its own. Every seed of thought you sow into your mind and allow to take root there blossoms sooner or later into act. Then your actions bear their own fruits, revealed in your own opportunities and circumstances. Your good thoughts bear good fruit in your life. Your bad thoughts bear bad fruit in your life. The outer world of your circumstances shapes itself to the inner world of your thought. This fantastic and creative schooling method developed by our Creator helps us to develop in this life. Both pleasant and unpleasant external conditions are factors which will make for your ultimate good. All your experiences will provide treasures for your soul if you learn from them. As you reap your own harvest, you learn both suffering and bliss. You can choose to pursue vain imaginings and wanderings, or to walk the highway of strong and focused thought. You follow your most inmost desires, thoughts, and longings. As you decide what great or ordinary ideas dominate your thinking, you will at last achieve their fulfillment in the outer conditions of your life. The law of attraction and the law of restoration apply everywhere. You'll not come to the poorhouse or the jail by the tyranny of fate or circumstances, but by the pathway of grovelling thoughts and low desires. Nor does a pure-minded man or woman fall suddenly into crime simply by external temptation. On the contrary, the criminal thought had long been secretly fostered in their heart, and the hour of opportunity simply revealed its gathered power. Circumstance does not make you do anything. Circumstance will only reveal you to yourself. You do not descend into vice and its attendant sufferings apart from vicious inclinations. Neither can you ascend into virtue and its pure happiness unless you continually cultivate virtuous ideals. You are therefore the lord and master of your thought and the shaper and author of your environment. You do not attract that which you want, but that which you are. Your whims, your fancies, and your ambitions may be thwarted at every step, but your inmost thoughts and desires are fed with their own food, be it foul or clean, and restored unto you again. You are chained only by yourself. Your thoughts and actions are the jailers of your fate. When negative and cowardly, your thoughts imprison you. Your thoughts and actions are also the angels of freedom. When noble and courageous, they liberate you. You don't get what you only wish and pray for, but what you justly earn. Your wishes and prayers are only gratified and answered when they harmonize with your thoughts and actions. Do you ever feel that you're fighting against circumstances? You feel this way when you struggle against external conditions, while all the time you nourish and preserve the inner cause in your heart. That inner cause may take the form of a conscious vice or an unconscious weakness. Whatever it is, that inner cause abolishes your chances to achieve the outer success you really want. This is true until you break that bad habit of thought and replace it with a better one. Are you one of those who are anxious to improve your circumstances but unwilling to improve yourself? If so, you remain bound. When you implement willingly a plan of self-control and self-sacrifice, you will accomplish any object you set your heart on. This is true of earthly and of heavenly things. Even when your only object is to acquire wealth, you must be prepared to make great personal sacrifices before you can accomplish your object. This is much more so when you would create for yourself a strong and well-poised life. It may be pleasing to our human vanity to believe that we suffer because of our virtue. However, not until you have eliminated every bitter or impure thought from your soul can you really know that you suffer because of your good qualities rather than your bad qualities. Long before you have reached that point of supreme perfection, you will have discovered the great law working in your mind and in your life. This great law, which is absolutely just, brings back good for good and evil for evil. You will then know, looking back upon your past ignorance and blindness, that your life is and always was justly ordered. You will then know that all your past experiences, good and bad, were simply the fair and just restoration of this great law. This law of restoration cannot be escaped, so let the law work in your favor by choosing right thoughts. Good thoughts and actions can never produce bad results. Bad thoughts and actions can never produce good results. This is only saying that nothing can come from corn seeds but corn, and nothing from weed seeds except weeds. People tend to understand this law in the natural world and work with it, but few understand it in the mental and moral world, even though its operation there is just as simple and clear. If you don't understand this law of returning good for good and evil for evil, then you won't cooperate with it. Suffering is always the effect of wrong thought in some direction. It is an indication that your thinking is out of harmony with the true self and with the law of your being. The sole and supreme use of suffering is to purify and to burn out all that is useless and impure. Suffering ceases for those who are pure. There could be no object in burning gold after the impurities have been removed. A perfectly pure and enlightened being could not suffer. Painful circumstances are the result of your own mental inharmony. Blessed circumstances are the result of your own mental harmony. Blessedness, not material possessions, is the measure of right thought. Wretchedness, not lack of material possessions, is the measure of wrong thought. You may be cursed and rich, and you may be blessed and poor. Blessedness and riches are only joined together when your riches are rightly and wisely used. You only descend into wretchedness when you regard your condition as a burden unjustly imposed. Poverty and indulgence are the two extremes of wretchedness. They are both equally unnatural and a result of mental disorder. You are not rightly conditioned until you are a happy, healthy, and prosperous being. Happiness, health, and prosperity are the result of an harmonious adjustment of your inner life with your outer life. You only begin to be powerful when you cease to whine and complain and start to search for the hidden justice that regulates your life. As you adapt your mind to this eternal law of cause and effect, you cease to accuse others as the cause of your condition. You build yourself up in strong and noble thoughts and cease to fight against circumstances. You begin to use conditions as aids to your more rapid progress and as a means of discovering the hidden powers and possibilities within yourself. Law, not confusion, is the dominating principle in the universe. Justice, not injustice, is the soul and substance of life. Righteousness, not corruption, is the moulding and moving force in the spiritual government of the world. When you follow these laws, you have only to right yourself to find that the universe is right. As you put yourself right, you will find that as you alter your thoughts towards things and other people will alter towards you. You can prove this truth to yourself simply by trying it out on your life. I challenge you to put it into practice today. When you radically alter your thoughts, you will be astonished at the rapid transformation that will follow in the material conditions of your life. You may imagine that thought can be kept secret, but it cannot. Your thought rapidly crystallizes into habit, and habit solidifies into your physical world. The fine matter of thought really does crystallize into the denser matter of the material world. Here are some examples to think about. Lustful thoughts crystallize into habits of drunkenness and sensuality. These habits then solidify into circumstances of destitution and disease. Impure thoughts crystallize into weak and confusing habits. These habits then solidify into distracting and miserable circumstances. Thoughts of fear and indecision crystallize into timid and cowardly habits. These habits solidify into circumstances of failure and poverty. Lazy thoughts crystallize into habits of dirtiness and dishonesty. Then these habits solidify into circumstances of foulness and betrayal. Hateful and condemning thoughts crystallize into habits of accusation and violence. These habits solidify and manifest circumstances of injury and persecution. Selfish thoughts of all kinds crystallize into habits of self-seeking. These habits of selfishness solidify into painful circumstances. On the other hand, beautiful thoughts of all kinds crystallize into habits of grace and kindness. These kind habits solidify into pleasant and sunny circumstances. Pure thoughts crystallize into habits of moderation and self-control. These habits solidify into restful circumstances of serenity and peace. Thoughts of courage and decision crystallize into strong and decisive habits. These habits then solidify into circumstances of success and freedom. Energetic thoughts crystallize into habits of cleanliness and industry. These habits solidify into circumstances of beauty and achievement. Gentle and forgiving thoughts crystallize into tender habits. These habits then solidify into safe and protective circumstances. Loving thoughts crystallize into warm and charitable habits. These habits solidify into circumstances of abiding prosperity and true riches. Thus we see that a particular train of thought persisted in, be it good or bad, always produces its result on a person's character and circumstances. You may not directly choose your circumstances, however, you can choose your thoughts and so indirectly yet surely shape your circumstances. The natural laws of crystallization lead you to the gratification of the thoughts that you most encourage. Opportunities are presented to you that will most speedily bring to the surface both your good and the evil thoughts. When you cease from your sinful thoughts, the entire world will soften towards you and be ready to help you. When you put away your weakly and sickly thoughts, opportunities will spring up on every hand to aid your strong resolve. When you encourage good thoughts, you'll press forward to greater peace, freedom, and abundance. The world is your kaleidoscope, the varying combinations of colours that are at every succeeding moment it presents to you are the exquisitely adjusted pictures of your ever-moving thoughts. End of chapter 2.